Wow, I think that got everybody's attention. Good morning, everybody. And welcome to our worship here at Faith. It's good that you could all be with us this morning. We're going through the month of April rather quickly here. We have a lot of things that are going to be taking place now here in the coming week. Next Sunday, as we gather for worship, we are going to be holding our new member Sunday on behalf of God's people here. We don't have a large group, but we do have a very dedicated group, some very special people that are going to be joining us. And just a couple of things regarding that. After our 11 o'clock service next week, we have two things. And we're going to kind of run them together. We are, first of all, we're going to have a reception. It's going to be on behalf of our new members, and it's going to have we're going to have cake and punch and all of that. But we're also having our state dinner. Now, we'll have tickets on sale after the worship. We had a few of them on sale before worship. We do need to know how many are coming so we know how much food to get. But for those of you that are going to be going to the state dinner, you get life as good as it's supposed to get. Remember the old saying, life is short, eat dessert first. That's what's going to happen next week because we've got a reception with cake and punch, so we'll eat dessert first. Then we'll have our little state dinner over there, and they'll be all on behalf of a very special day. Even before we get to that, next Saturday night, our Faith Factor, our worship group, is going to be performing at the Oasis Coffee Spot. Now, that's over, if you go up to Ridge, take Ridge to Little, and then north on Little, not terribly far. There's a Winn-Dixie Plaza up there. Way on the north end of the Winn-Dixie Plaza is the Oasis Coffee Spot. That will be our next restaurant night out this coming Saturday, and their concert begins at 7:30. And so they try to do that once or twice a year, and they've been working hard getting things ready again for this coming week. So please join us Saturday night. We are going to have our regular 5 o'clock worship. They will be taking part in that. That's at 5, and then again with up at the Oasis Coffee Spot at 7:30. So quite a week that we've got coming up here next week. Folks, I have to plead guilty of perhaps being a really lousy communicator. No less than 3 times this week, I have received telephone calls from people saying, "Say, I heard that you were going to keep on worshiping on Wednesday nights after the Lenten season. Have you guys done anything with that?" And sitting there scratching my head because we've been talking about it as much as we possibly can, getting information out to as many of our members. So I guess we're just going to have to keep doing that. We're going to keep reminding people we've got a very special, unique Wednesday night service back in the conference room at 6:30 each week, a different theme each week. The target, of course, is for those people that haven't been to church for a long time or maybe never. And while that may not be you, we're learning more and more as the people who are going to that service are trying out that service that, hey, you know, this is exactly what my brother, my neighbor, my son, whatever. I've heard it so many times already. This is what they need. So if the best thing for you to do is come and check it out first, and then invite that special someone to join us for that, because we're committed to that Wednesday worship at least through the summer, and I'd like to think it's going to become a permanent part of what we do and are here at Faith. So please join us for all of those things. Just one other thing that I have, we mentioned it last week. We don't have a schedule or even a format of how we're going to do Vacation Bible School yet. We need a coordinator. We need somebody that would like to step up. And again, there will be plenty of help. A lot of people are going to quickly get on board to do whatever it is we need to do so that we can make it happen for whatever and however long we decide to make it. But we do need somebody to step up for that. See Jerry Brock, or you can also see me for that, because it's so much a part of the outreach that we do here. Please fill out those Faith Fellowship cards and racks in front of you. Let us know that you were here today. And in the midst of our prayers today, we want to remember the father of William Verheyen Sr. As he is going into hospice care. And so we need to remember that family on behalf of a moment there that usually hospice is something that, you know, we just, it's something that requires our prayers. So we will do that. Our opening hymn is number 710 in our Lutheran service book, The Lord's My Shepherd, I'll Not Want, on this Good Shepherd Sunday. But before we get to the opening hymn, let's stand and now and greet one another in the peace of the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce unto you the grace of God. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I declare to you that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, merciful Father, since you have wakened from death the shepherd of your sheep, grant us your Holy Spirit, that when we hear the voice of our shepherd, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The readings from Holy Scripture are appointed for the fourth Sunday of Easter. The first lesson, as is always the case during the season of Easter, comes from the book of Acts. This morning from the fourth chapter, Peter proclaims Jesus as the stone that was rejected and has become the cornerstone. Reading from verse 1, Acts 4. St. Luke writes, as they were speaking to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed, because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, by what power or by what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson is from the first letter of St. John, the third chapter. We are told to love one another as Christ has loved us. Reading from verse 16, the apostle writes, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in the word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in them. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand as a sign of resurrection hope.
Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. This is the gospel of our Lord. Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. Friends, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life as we dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. May the grace and peace of the Good Shepherd be with you always. Friends, I think all of us know how the 23rd Psalm begins. But that's not just why I have up on the screen what I do. And I'm just wondering here, is there anybody out there that recognizes what this is or what this is from? If you do, raise your hand. I won't call on you, but I just need to know if some people. Oh, we have more people here that know than the other two services combined. That's impressive. Well, if you want to tell us, you can. Little House on the Prairie. This is from one of the most memorable episodes of the show, Little House on the Prairie. It was a two-part episode during one of the first seasons. It was a show in which the Ingalls family they already had their three daughters. Now they were expecting a fourth. And it turned out that through the episode, Charles had wanted a son, and indeed, this was going to be a son. But from the beginning, the famous daughter, Laura, was troubled by it. I think the word jealous would be the word that you could use. She could tell that the baby was going to be taking a lot of attention, and at some point it most certainly did. And she was saying things to Dad like, well, you know, I can do everything for you that a son can do, and just trying to get her attention as best as she can. Well, the baby was born, and in her world, things just kept getting worse. But then things started not going so well for the baby either. And eventually the doctor asked that the baby be taken to the hospital in Mankato, Minnesota to be looked over. And during the time that the baby was having some real difficulties, one night they were putting together some of the things that they were going to pray about. Laura was going to offer the prayer, and she was reminded to pray for the baby, and she wouldn't do it. And lo and behold, as the parents got to the hospital, they were informed that, well, we've seen this before, and there's nothing we can do. It wasn't long after that, the child was gone. And after, as Mom and Dad were returning home, one of Laura's sisters met them from a distance and said, "Where's the baby?" And the dad that was played by Michael Landon had to say, "In heaven, child." But for Laura, it represented a moment where what had been jealousy now turned into extreme guilt. And after listening to a pastor's sermon that she didn't quite understand exactly what he was referring to, she ended up running away up to a high mountain. And, well, the story gets kind of interesting after that, where supposedly some guardian angels watching over her and made a necklace for her. And this necklace, while she's cleaning up once, falls into a stream and it goes downstream, and naturally it goes right past the dad, who's able to use that to find out where she is and be reunited with them. But we're reminded, my friends, in the midst of things, that the Lord is the shepherd of all of us who have to face these types of things all the time. And the first inferences, there's no doubt about it, are ones that we don't necessarily easily understand. Some of you, I think, do. There are those of you that grew up around sheep. There are those of you that have heard the stories about what sheep are like and how hard it is to make what's on the screen happen. I shall not want, as a sheep, I shall not want, he makes me to lie down in green pastures and leads me beside the still waters. That's wonderful. You can actually get the sheep to do it, even for a short period of time. But that's what the Lord, as our shepherd, does to his sheep. We have to keep reminding ourselves here that, yes, the inference is most definitely to sheep. But the psalmist David is talking about us. Us under the guise of him who truly is the good shepherd. And the hint is that last phrase right there. He restores my soul. And that's what the true good shepherd has done. The good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. The good shepherd who was willing. And he said, no one takes this life from me, even though it appeared otherwise. I lay it down of my own accord. And for what? For me? For you? But he did. And the joy of knowing that he has laid down his life for us is one that every day gives us joy like we have never had. Because this is what that person does. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The paths of righteousness where we can walk free from the dangers of sin. Oh, it may be a part of our lives, but as we walk with eternity in our hearts, closer to heaven all the time, we see what our Savior has ready for us. And so, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, knowing he is with us. There are stories every week where people, totally unaware, all of a sudden are facing something that they just never thought they had to face. For example, just this past week, a couple days ago, the Major League Baseball team, the Chicago White Sox, I mentioned because they do come down here to play Tampa once in a while. They were in the sixth inning of a game, and they had sent out one of their relief pitchers to finish up the inning, and indeed, he had gotten the final two outs of the inning, went back into the dugout, and I don't know what the plan was for the seventh inning, but while he was in the dugout, all of a sudden, he collapsed, and they got medical help to him and got him to the hospital, whatever else, to find out that a brain aneurysm had burst. And to this moment where they thought he had stabilized, even this morning, he is still fighting for his life. And all of a sudden, nobody's even thinking about baseball anymore. In a moment, life changes for us in ways that we could never have imagined, maybe on our own behalf, maybe on behalf of somebody else, but always leading us through a valley of darkness that we had not prepared ourselves for. That no matter how many times we are told, you know, that we take up our crosses and follow Jesus, we weren't really expecting something quite like that. But that's what happens. And as if those kinds of things were not bad enough, we see the image here of the lengths to which the Good Shepherd sometimes has to go and rescue us, not from things that happen that are out of our control, but things that were completely and totally in our control. Jesus once made the parable of the lost sheep, where, you know, if a man has 100 sheep and loses one of them, he leaves the 99 and goes and searches for the one until he finds it. This picture here might be a really good depiction of the lengths to which the Good Shepherd has to go to rescue his people. Now, what is that sheep doing in a place like that? There's nothing but danger there. No good can come from the sheep being there, but that's where you can expect them. Why? Because sheep can be most troubling, both individually and as a flock. There's an article here written by Steve D'Antoni, who wrote an article and description on sheep needing a shepherd. This is what he writes. Why sheep? Why not cheetahs or wolves or tigers or another animal with a bit of flair, a bit of class? But the Bible tells us often we are sheep. We are sheep, and the Lord is our good shepherd. We may have said it in Psalm 23, but do we understand what it really means? Do a little bit of reading about sheep, and you'll soon see they are not survivors. They are not strong and independent creatures. They are not proud hunters. They are not fierce predators, despite the fact some of us think that we might be all of those things. Actually, they're kind of pathetic. Entirely dependent upon a shepherd for many things, but focused around three. Two of them are related to the brain of the sheep, and the other to its body. Here's a news story that aptly tells us the first reason sheep need a shepherd, because, let's face it, sheep are stupid. Wow. Here's the story. Hundreds of sheep followed their leader off a cliff in eastern Turkey, plunging to their deaths while shepherds looked on in dismay. 400 sheep fell 20 feet to their deaths in a ravine in a province near Iran, but those 400 broke the fall of another 1,100 who also jumped but survived. Shepherds from a nearby village had neglected the flock for just a short while they ate breakfast, leaving the sheep to roam free. The loss to local farmers was estimated at nearly $100,000. One sheep decides to go off a cliff, and 1,499 others just followed along. Sounds a little bit like some of the stuff we see in society today. Even some of the things that people think might be good things. People going after cliff. And just think about what happened here. As they started to jump, soon they were piled so high, the ones at the bottom both drowned and were crushed to death, while the ones on top were basically landing on top of what seemed to be a big downy soft pillow. It's absurd. But tells us something about sheep. They are not the brightest bulbs in the light bulb pack. In fact, they may well be just about the dumbest animals in the world. And as if that's not enough, not only are they dumb, they are directionless. And they are prone to wander. You know, at the beginning of the 23rd Psalm, we talked about that leading them beside the still waters, and all those wonderful things. Even if you put them in an absolutely perfect environment with everything they need, sooner or later, they are still just going to wander off. If a shepherd doesn't micromanage them and keep them under constant surveillance, they will eventually wander off and be lost. And left to themselves, sheep will not last very long. Because beyond being dumb and directionless, they're also defenseless. Most animals have got some sort of an ability to defend themselves, whether it's the ability to fight, the ability to, shall we say, flight, meaning run away, or the ability to posture themselves as a lot more dangerous maybe than they really are by things that they're able to do. But sheep can't do any of that. Sheep don't fight, they don't run away, and the bleeding that a sheep makes hardly scares anybody. Well, so what does a sheep do when danger comes? They flock. When a predator animal approaches, the sheep will gather with others in a pack, and they will run in circles in a complete panic, just hoping that the predator will choose someone else. Without a shepherd to protect them, they'll be picked off and eaten one by one. And yet, here we are told, our sheep. So when we say, the Lord is my shepherd, we're saying something that needs to move our heart in both gratitude and humility. Because what is true both about us and about God, when you look at the stark difference between the great shepherd of the sheep and each of us. Because let's not forget, no matter what we do, the good shepherd stoops down to care for us, to do whatever it is that needs to be done, to care even for us who love to wander. Yes, what the good shepherd does for us is utilizing that which he has, comforting me, preparing a table before me, even in the presence of those who wanted to see the good shepherd of the sheep dead. And as he anoints us with something, he prepares us for service, even as Jesus was anointed as prophet, priest, and king. And that's why Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. For directionless sheep like us, you might remember that story where Jesus, it was focused around the story of the feeding of the 5,000, where Jesus encouraged his disciples to go to get away for a while. Get away from the crowds because they hadn't even had a chance to eat. And even though he was the sinless Son of God, doesn't mean he couldn't make mistakes. And he made the mistake of kind of tipping where he was going to go on the lake. And the crowds got there ahead of him. And he gets off the boat and he has compassion for them because they look like sheep without a shepherd. Now that you got that image in your mind, think about that. Because often, my friends, that is how we looked until the great shepherd and overseer of our souls called us by name, called us in the waters of holy baptism, and made sure that goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Yes, our shepherd will pursue us with his love, a relationship that is both for this life and forever. At the end of the episode, when father and daughter were reunited, and it had been made clear to her that while we may never fully understand God's plan, sometimes God's plan is to decide that one will go with the Lord, but that perhaps the other is still needed in this world by her parents. And when the two embraced and broke down in tears, we found out later that it wasn't even just a moment by two cast characters, but it was a tender, genuine moment between the lady that played, whose name was Melissa Gilbert, and the gentleman that played the dad, Michael Landon. Friends, our relationship to the Good Shepherd is just as real. He loves us. He cares for us. He is bringing us to the waters of life, the waters of eternal life. We simply walk as the people who are under the overseer of our souls. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. So at this time now, we receive our offerings. If you have not yet filled out those faith fellowship cards, please do so. You can turn them in at the conclusion of the offering. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty and ever-living God, you have given the light of your truth in Jesus Christ that we may be rescued from the darkness of sin and unbelief, and that we may have life in his name. Heavenly Father, make us who are your people to shine in this world's darkness. Help us always, dear Lord, as you have made us part of the great shepherd of the sheep, that we may always be your children, always ready to serve you, always ready to follow wherever you would lead us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We thank you for the grace which sent Christ, that great shepherd and overseer of our souls, into our world to lay down his life, to pay the price of his blood, to free us from the power of Satan, from the deserved results of our sins, and from the lifelong fear of death. We praise you for his triumphant resurrection, for the glorious promise that all who listen to his voice and follow him will receive eternal life. May we, as your children, always move towards that, hearing those words and reminding ourselves that the life that you give truly is for us and truly is eternal. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Accept our thanksgiving for his love for us, who were straying and helpless like sheep without a shepherd, but who are now, through your great mercy, brought back to fellowship with the keeper of our souls. For your forgiveness and pardon for all sins, for the promise of peace and the assurance of salvation, for your presence and power in our lives, for your love and mercy, and for every gift and grace in Christ Jesus, we look to you and thank you, merciful Father, Lord, in your mercy. Give to churches throughout the world, and especially to our congregation, every necessary blessing, that each of us may follow the example of Christ, our Savior and Head, by seeking the lost, lifting up the fallen, strengthening the weary, rescuing the straying, feeding the poor, helping the suffering, being with those who are lonely. May we thereby proclaim your praises for calling us out of darkness into your marvelous light, Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Direct our way through the sin, strife, and uncertainty of this age, O Lord. Give us true faith in godly hearts. Strengthen the sick. Cheer the depressed. Supply the needy. Be with those who need comfort in their time of bereavement. And bless all people in any need of body, mind, heart, or soul. We now lift up before you some in our own lives or in the lives of our congregation who are in need of the help and direction that you give, that we now name before you in a moment of silence. Lord, as you bless the family of William Verhein as Father goes into hospice care in Ohio, remind each and every one of us of that you are ready to always help us in times of trouble. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus, now that you have revealed your glory in the face of you who were willing to give your life for us as you suffered, died, and rose for our salvation, now, grant us faithfully to eat and drink this holy supper, trusting you as our reigning Savior, who is here present now to save us by his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name the prayer he taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The words of our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Our service concludes in the middle of page 8 with the unison prayer. Please stand as we pray together. Almighty God, merciful Father, you sent your Son to be our good shepherd. Protect us from the dangers of this world and lead us to what is good, right, and beneficial, so that we would reflect the merciful care you have shown us in your risen Son, through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Receive the blessing of the Lord into your hearts and into your homes. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.